Oh, how's it going? And welcome to Holly and Hideout. This is Holly and Jane speaking. And it's been 1 week since you looked at me, cocked your head, and it's to your side and said, I'm angry. Nah, I'm joking. But it has been 1 week since the whole entire debacle with the Game Show Awards last Thursday. And, of course, you didn't know that was 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies, which I recommend y'all checking out.
And, of course, Digimon the movie, everybody, if you've ever heard it.
There we go. And, of course, always joining me as one of my fantastic co-hosts is Xander Blades. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this lovely podcast. So, without further ado, let's hang out at the Hideout.
All right, let's get it. So, good old James has been an avid watcher of Game Awards for a few years. I didn't watch it because, me personally, I was zoned out a long time ago. because of the type of things that happened during the Gaming Awards. So, yeah, anybody? So, what did you think about it, James?
I mean, it was lame. It was boring, man. And I wasn't too thrilled with, you know, most of the stuff that came out of it. Even though they did have some fantastic showcasings for characters from certain games, like Sephiroth was coming to Smash. Yeah. And right now, if you go pre-order him, you can do his whole entire event thing. And if you beat him, you will unlock him and play him in Smash. He is fun to play with. I thoroughly enjoy seeing the other showcasing for Scarlet Nexus, because that's been the game I'm looking for. Backblood is Left 4 Dead 3, basically. And then they announced the Ash versus the Evil Dead type game where you play as Ash.
Okay, so is it literally like based on the latest show that came out? Because I remember they had an Evil Dead game that came out a few years back. Well, actually, more like 10 years ago or something.
I mean, if it is, Ash is kind of young before Ash is young in the game.
Oh, yeah. So it can't be no damn Ash versus the Evil Dead. That dude was like 50 something years old and that, but no, was it a gameplay or was it a CGI trailer?
It was gameplay. It actually showed Ash and everybody shooting the Necronomicon zombies and demons and stuff.
Alright, that actually be good then. I've gotten a little bit into the show, but I haven't really seen all of it. So that should be a pretty good game. But have you seen the one I know that everybody was talking about? That Mass Effect, huh?
Oh, you mean the BioWare's like 30, like a minute thing of some old girl talking? And yeah, I saw it. My first thought, I was like, is this fucking Starlink? Are we finally seeing what Starlink Atlanta, or whatever that is from Bethesda is? And that was Mass Effect, and I was just like,
too little, too late.
I was like, you know, all right, I'm down.
Yeah, like a bit. Like, I kind of feel like the fact that they said it will continue pretty much means this may never happen. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, supposedly they said that the Dragon Age thing, they said they were having, developers are having the same amount of problems that they were with Anthem. Hopefully that's rectified by the time the new Dragon Age comes out. But for Mass Effect, I guess it's more of a fan thing. They're trying to show the fans, hey, this one actually takes place after 3. That's Liara. There's N7 armor. You guys happy? Huh? You guys like that? Huh? You like that little kid? Because, I mean, really, when you think about it, like, at least for me and I guess other gamers like me who pretty much just left it alone, I think what it is that it's a wrap. I think it's pretty much done. And I think that they're just hoping to get that old fan base back. And I have to admit, like, seeing that trailer made me go, oh, wow, that's cool. And I thought to myself, oh, it's BioWare. We may never get this.
Oh, wait, it's BioWare.
We may, because, I mean, just them saying Mass Effect will continue, like, what does that mean? If Dragon Age sells well, y'all might, that's y'all last thing. That's all y'all got.
All right. of course, we know Mass Effect continued because, I mean, Andromeda came out.
Yeah, apparently this is supposed to be like a sequel to both of those games. But, I mean, when you really think about it, like, Andromeda was a mid-quill that became his own spinoff that became a sequel. So, I guess what they're going to do, just pretend like Andromeda didn't even, you know, exist or say that Andromeda is happening in a different galaxy right now. All right, let's go back to Shepard. Right. Everybody cares a damn about. Because right. See, when you actually think about it like this, they could actually, this could fix the end of the Mass Effect 3 if they do this correct. Because, I mean, that would be making the canon the Destroyer ending, which everybody thought should have been canon in the first place. And then this would probably be, you know, maybe the crew is trying to go find Shepard because of the, you remember the original ending, which was where, like, you know, he dies or his hand strikes out to the heavens and he's like, and he gets that little breath or whatever. So maybe they're trying to continue off of that.
And I mean, they should, because that ending was such a bullshit ending to get, because you had to do stuff online to get that ending.
Yeah. But that was the only way it could continue, though. Like I said, if they actually do this right, this could make it work. Because, see, I didn't know how in the hell the control ending was going to work. I didn't know how the synthesis ending was going to work. I mean, I knew the idea of it, but still, it was just kind of like, so everybody's cool and everybody's all right. No, that doesn't work. You can't continue the franchise with that. And then I was like, oh, we want to continue the franchise. So, yeah, we're going to go with the Destroyer ending and the stupid multiplayer ending if you bought the game and played it online.
Yeah.
So, I say overall with that, I'm. But well, y'all still got to do more for me than that. Like, y'all got to put in a little bit more effort than tell me about some game that may never come.
Right. And then one of the biggest things that really got me excited at the end of the whole entire debacle and mess of this Game Show Awards was Microsoft came out with Rare and gave the trailer for a new Perfect Dark game. Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah.
It looks so fucking, oh my god, it looks so good. I was just sitting there, I was just like, alright. I haven't played 160 in 64 days, let's go.
Yeah, because I mean, they had a Perfect Dark, Zero for Xbox 360. And I think it was supposed to restart the franchise with that, but it didn't go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere.
So hopefully maybe this won't die as well. But see, like, that's the problem with these sort of trailers, though, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're really just teasers. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not too sure if they will blow up into anything later on down the line, but hopefully they do, especially with Perfect Dark.
Right, and I was kind of disappointed because they showed no Elden Ring kind of news on Elden Ring, because that's been a game that everybody's wanting to see from From Software.
Man, you don't know how they're going to do. Like, that was something that they released at, like, E3 or some crap.
I wanted to see that. Then I was kind of hoping to show a little bit more, like, Halo-wise. But I did miss the first 30 minutes of the Game Show Awards. So if they did show anything in that time, I didn't see it. Because I know that's when they shut Sephiroth, and I had to go look that up.
Yeah, it got you interested. You were like, all right, I'll watch. And it got quickly disappointed.
Well, I mean, I was going to watch it regardless. But I had to get to a TV to an Xbox and TV to turn it on to watch it. Because I was at a friend of ours, a house named Cody.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes. So I know people mad about this Sephiroth, though. If you go to a Kingdom Hearts Reddit or something, people are like, what the f-? Everybody big mad, bro.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes perfect sense why Sephiroth's in the game, though. Because not only is Cloud in there, but Sephiroth is Cloud, you know, archenemy, vice versa. Mm. Not only is there Mario, they got Bowser, Link, they got Ganondorf, Kirby, they got King DDD, Samus, they got Ridley. They have villains in the game, too.
Yeah.
So it would only be natural that they would throw Sephiroth in there. I actually had to sit down and think about this, because I was like, man, I kind of wanted Sora, but now I understand why. If anything,
he could be a bridge. He can be a bridge way too Sora, maybe. Maybe. So, I mean, there's still hope yet. I won't get my
if he shows up, he shows up. If not, you know, I mean, I ain't going to complain.
No, and it, bro, that game got dark as hell, though, didn't it? when he showed when he showed Sephiroth stabbing, it looked like he stabbed Mario. It was just like it was an Advent Children. I was like, oh shoot, hold up, they're going too far.
I love how Cloud just runs up. And Mario's throwing the blade, and he turns around, he goes swing his blade. Mario goes flying off of the blade.
Mario's like, "Yo, bro, this is no. I ain't gonna die like that. Yeah, I ain't gonna put me out like that, bro."
Dude, I love how when all the characters are taking on the final form of the Master Hand, and he just gets cut in half. And I was like, "Oh God, it's Sephiroth." The Cloud goes, "Oh," and Cloud's face gave it away, and it showed Sephiroth. And I was like, "Man." No,
they show like the 15,000 wings opening up. I'm like, what? I was like, some dude react to it. He's like, who is this? Who is this? Even after the music started playing, he was like, who is this? I said, oh, come on, bro. I'm like, you know, after the first three lines,
a lot of people don't know who Sephiroth is unless they played the remake.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because Lizzie and Jake, Cody's wife and her brother, didn't know who Sephiroth was because they never played Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that makes sense though, because I think like Smash is more of his own thing, and a lot of different people who do play Smash are usually like fighting tournament people and everything else, so that would make sense.
Right. So yeah, it is a nice seeing Sephiroth as a big hey, here he is. He's out. Try him out. Which he's all right. He can be OP, but he's not OP.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on who feels like spamming all the time or using his OP-ness, but yeah.
Moving on from that, let's talk about some of the awards.
Yeah. After just talking about all the good stuff that came from the awards, let's talk about what everybody else is talking about, huh?
It's been a little over 1 week. And all the videos have stopped flooding out on everybody's, you know, mad reactions or pissed off videos about, you know, what happened.
I'm just like, y'all didn't see this coming? Like, did nobody see this coming?
Right, so.
Well, I mean, let's first talk about, I guess, the Player Choice Awards. Well, I think beforehand it was something called the Golden Stick Awards or something. Yeah. That was the first one. And
it was something like that.
Yeah, the Golden Stick Awards, it pretty much was given to Last of Us 2 for the best game. And I think the other one I remember was the best game director, which a lot of people are funny about.
So I remember The Last of Us Part 2 getting the best narrative lead. Haley took the one for the story. She did the one for the story. She had the best. They won the best story, best narrative lead, and then best game overall, I think, is what they won for.
For the Golden Sticks?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, we already knew they were going to get Game of the Year pretty much across the board, but game director was a little bit, you know, considering how everyone was talking about the leaks that they were talking about with the crunch time.
Like, right. Every article
before the game even came out was talking about how bad crunch was, how there were people who were quitting the job based upon the crunch, how people were going to like psych evaluations and people had depression.
It's been technical difficulties. Now we'll resume the regular show. Have a good day.
The crunch time and how like the Naughty Dog's crunch was one of the worst crunches ever. But then of course the game comes out, and then all those articles that all these people were talking about, all these same journalists, Kotaku, Polygon, you know, the favorites that everybody loves, they all were hushed, didn't say nothing when the game came out. And they see, you know, everything was about how great the game is and about how you can jump now. You've never been able to jump in any video game before. You've never been able to crawl on the floor in any video game before.
Oh my god, local village boy learns how to jump in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, oh Jesus Christ. They are breaking the standards of what video games have never been. Oh my god. Yeah, so a bunch of ridiculous crap like that started happening, and then all the articles about crunch just disappeared. No one ever brought them up again. Well, actually, recently they did, but we'll get back to that. So, yeah, for them to win the Director of Award, even for the Golden Sticks was ridiculous. But a lot of people just kind of, you know, pass that off as whatever. It's the Golden Sticks. Nobody cares. Then came the Player Choice Awards.
The Player Choice Awards, you know, what the players actually chose, gave out to Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, at least Ghost of Tsushima got that.
It was funny, though, because it's like when they first started out, people, it was The Last of Us 2 that was climbing the ranks. Actually, it was just like almost right out the bat, it was number one. And then good old Neil had to run his mouth on Twitter, as a good old person like him would do. He came out and said, yeah, blah, 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 something about, well, this will show the haters, you know, something about going against the haters. And the moment he had did that, Ghost of Tsushima started rising. It started climbing the ranks. And then he came out and he was just like, oh, well, I'm sorry that I typed that out, that I put out that tweet. It was just a joke, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it was too late. Like, Ghost of Tsushima ended up taking it just because of him being a douchebag, just because of him being AO. It completely took it.
Well, I mean, that's how it goes from time to time, I guess.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, like, I guarantee the reason why The Last of Us 2 is even growing on the Player Choice boards was because, you know, he had his people out there. He had his Twitter followers out there, his little cult of personality, if that's what you want to call him. All those little people out there trying to make sure that the game, you know, got as far as it could. And then he made that tweet, and then everybody else was like, all right, you know, let's jump in. Okay, we ain't gonna let it ride like this. Because I think normal people don't really give a damn. Most people don't care until that happened. Then I think people are just like, we have to do something. We can't let this guy get this and have his little crew or have the little people that he has working for him or his shields, as they call them, out there, you know, putting out the good word about The Last of Us. So that was one win. I guess that showed that people could come together and, you know, get a win for, I guess, a game that probably really did deserve it. Funny enough, they put Spider-Man on there, and I didn't know even why, considering the game just came out. Like, what?
It was Spider-Man, the Miles Morales edition, because they added, because the Don't Let Story Arc for Miles Morales was on there. I mean, honestly, I looked at it, and I was like, Ghost of Tsushima, Doom Eternal, and Final Fantasy VII, and Hades, I'd see you up there, because all of those are really great games. I watched somebody play through Hades, and I was amazed. Of course, you know, we played the demo for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it was fun. I've heard great things about the game. I played through Doom Eternal, and then I watched a friend of ours named T-Frost stream it on Twitch, Ghost of Tsushima, and it just looks fantastic. I want to play it. So I understand why those are up there, but you know, like I said in my first initial thing of Last of Us 2 review, I like the game, but I don't like the story. For the combat, like, mechanic-wise and combat-wise, Last of Us 2 is fantastic. But when it came down to the story, it's just not there. It's not what Naughty Dog needs to do.
Yeah, and see, that pretty much takes, like, half of it away then. That's half a point. I mean, you're talking about 50% of the game is a narrative-based game. But I mean, so yeah, let's talk about the fact that you had those other games in the running. Well, if we're going to be honest about it, Final Fantasy VII, it's what, 25% of a game?
Right. Plus, Final Fantasy VII already won their award for the night anyway, and that was Best RPG, which in my opinion, should have gone to Persona 5 Royal anyway, but it didn't.
Because, well, I mean, let's if we're going to be real about it.
More people know Final Fantasy VII than they do Persona. I know that.
Yeah. But it's like, when you really honestly think about it, it doesn't even make sense for it to be up there in the running as best game, because it's not a full game. I can understand, and I think the main reason why they even put Hades up there is because it's an independent game. I think they wanted to show independent games love, but it's what you would call a niche game. You know what I'm saying? It's not a lot of people would have played.
Well, actually, Hades on Steam does have a really good... And it's mostly positive, and it does have a lot of player count to it. So it's a known game. Like, it's getting known, just like the Among Us is.
Okay, I got you. All right, in that round. But I mean, like, usually, in most cases, indie games aren't really bopping like that. But I think internet popularity has made it huge.
Right. Well, I mean, look at Among Us. You know, it wasn't really popular until, you know, streamers and people started making it popular. And they won, like, I think 2 to 3 awards themselves for, like, best mobile game and best multiplayer game.
Niggas, like, everybody streaming that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like legitimately, they won that. And just recently, Among Us released on the Switch. And it just, I think it's also coming to Xbox on the Game Pass.
Might? Nah.
No, it is. Microsoft done stated that.
No, I mean, I was saying, like, I might want to get off into it, but I'm not too sure. I might want to play that. Just to stream to me, have a bunch of people, like, cursing over the game. But, yeah, but, like, it seems like it's a fun game to stream. But let's see. All right, so you got Final Fantasy. You got Doom Eternal. You got Hades. I see, for Doom Eternal, I would say I would have given it to that simply because it's just overall a great game. Seems like a lot of people love it. It's classic. It does what it's supposed to do.
I like Doom Eternal, but this is just my opinion, though. Like, it's Doom. Just play Doom, like the first remastered one. Yeah, they give you the sword, and you can get around easier and stuff. They upgraded, but, I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's just Doom.
But I would say just because of it being a decent game, I would say I would just give it to it. Because, I mean, well, I like the Doom games, though. So I guess that's my bias, but I haven't played it yet. But to me, it would have either been that or Ghost of Tsushima.
Right, yeah. I mean, I agree with you on that one. Like, Ghost of Tsushima, Doom, or Hades should have got it. Most definitely, my opinion, Ghost, because that was one of the most... It's probably the second most anticipated game of this year.
Yeah, because I remember them showing the trailer years ago and everybody wanted it.
Right. And to me, it performed way better than The Last of Us 2 because it had that familiar... It had that Sekiro kind of combat where you had to do the parry, you had to do this and stuff like that. So it had that combat difficulty, but it wasn't too hard. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of people got more into it then, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of people said it was kind of like what Assassin's Creed used to be before it got weird. Like they said, because you remember how, like, the original Assassin's Creed games, they were more, the gameplay was more based upon, like, countering.
Right.
And, like, style and stuff like that. So people, a lot of people were saying it was like that. So I would say, yeah, just based upon that, those games should have won. But I do understand why somebody would say, like, what else was there? What else was it going against? Because, I mean, technically, if you want to say, like, Last of Us, that would be more popular than all those games.
Right.
I say maybe the only one that will have trouble popularity wise would be Final Fantasy, but see, once again, Final Fantasy is more of a, if you're into JRPGs, everybody would know who that was. Other than that, only people who know about it is either because they saw the movies, they played Kingdom Hearts, or, you know, Smash. And like I said, Hades is, it's a niche in comparison to The Last of Us. Now see, for people like us who actually do play a lot of video games, we would pick anything else other than The Last of Us 2 because of how it turned out. But you had to think about it from the aspect of everybody or journalists in this case, which is really who pretty much voted on the game.
Right,
now, That begs the question, though, was it rigged?
Honestly, deep down, it's not rigged. There's no way possible is this kind of rigged. But I want to say, yes, it is rigged, but I know it's not.
Just because we big man right now. It's just, stop.
This is not even because I'm mad. It's just because if they would have left everything up to the players, there's no way Last of Us 2 would have won any kind of award.
Bro, that game wouldn't even be nominated.
Right, but because the players only got to vote on one thing, while, you know, the critics and everybody else got to do whatever they needed to do to, you know, vote on the games. That's the reason why it was even nominated and won several awards, was because of that.
Yeah, see, also, I mean, when you really get off into it, like, people have to know definitions better. And usually when people say things that are rigged and whatnot, it's usually not what it means. Like, in a slang term, you can say it was rigged because you can say that, something was manipulated in order to make the game be more popular than it was. I guess they can say that, like, Naughty Dog paid the people off. And with this, we're going to get off into, I guess, like, the journalistic aspects of it, but that's what a lot of people are thinking, that, like, he paid a lot of these people off in order to make this game bigger than what it is. But that's not exactly the case. Not really.
And plus, it didn't really help all these content creators who was out there at the time around the Game Show Awards putting out videos and stuff talking about The Last of Us 2 and how, you know, it was doing this compared to this compared to this game.
Yeah, stuff like that.
So, I mean, it's also content creators. I mean, even though they were bad-mouthing the game, it did help out in a way.
Well, because see, I think when it comes to streamers and stuff, when it comes to streamers and content creators and, I guess, word of mouth, that's what pretty much inevitably killed the game right there. That's what really kind of sold it. Because, see, people don't go on Reddit. People don't give a crap about, you know, game facts or nothing like that, or even Metacritic, for that example. They don't care about, like, what people had to legitimately say. They'll watch somebody play it, and they'll look at those reactions. And the whole of those reactions were pretty much, even people who I saw who wanted to like the game, even people who I knew who didn't have any priors to the game, they looked at it, and they were just like, oh, I don't know how to feel. And that was pretty much across the board. I maybe seen, like, one or two people who actually genuinely liked it. So,
I mean, most people are getting banned for you know, some of their reactions and stuff from the game.
Yeah, like with that, I think it was that Asian, a female Asian streamer or something like that had said that I don't want to play as this trans character, which was wrong because I guess like Abby isn't trans, but
her first initial statement was that wow, Abby is buff, like she's almost like a trans character.
Yeah,
and that got her banned. So I mean.
Yeah, but see, at that time, everybody knew that Neil Druckmann was running around shadow banning people and striking against people's stuff. He even admitted it to himself, which apparently is illegal, but...
Hey. Well, I mean, not only that, Twitch in itself is getting really weird and
crazy. Get off into Twitch.
Crazy on how they're doing stuff, because that's a whole podcast on its own.
Yeah. Twitch, essentially, Twitch can do whatever the hell they want to do, and they can protect as many thoughts as they want to protect.
Especially with the new recent events that just came out. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
I can't say waifu anymore without, you know, I'm stringing Ganesh and Impact. I can't call. I can't say waifu because I'm going to get banned. Like, come on now.
Hey, you got to protect the thighs, bro.
I'm just saying it's a video game. We're not streaming. Come on now. Like,
legitimately, I watched some video earlier today where they said some chick like spread eagle on there. She got banned for like 3 days or something. And they said some other girl had cursed and said fuck whenever she was streaming. And she got banned for like, I don't know, maybe 10, I think somewhere between 10 to 20 days. And I said to myself, well, it's because you're actually trying to, you know, stream and you're not streaming your tits. But anyway, sorry. I'm just gonna be real about it. But anyway, no, I'll get off of that because we're really about to go off into some of the stuff right now. So anyway, keeping that in mind, when you talk about, I guess, how the game could possibly be rigged, Neil Druckmann, I don't want to say he gave the people money, the journalists money, or anything like that. But see, there is a thing called access, and see what a lot of these people, a lot of these journalists do. Is that if they play ball, they can get early access to the games. They'll be able to come out and report on the games and get the reviews about the games, which is in line with what they really want.
Right.
But as I stated earlier, this access did not stop them from talking about the crunch at first. A lot of them were talking about it at first, and then the game came out, then they stopped talking about it. So when you want to talk about it being rigged, it is not rigged in the sense of, you know, money or anything else like that. It's more rigged in the sense of, like, it's already set up to be a certain way. You don't have to rig something when all the people that you know like you. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to rig something when essentially all the people who are voting for you are kind of like your friends. They're your buddies. And if you want to add the culture war aspects into it with everybody not wanting the trolls to win and can't let the game haters win and stuff, you already knew that they were going to give it to The Last of Us 2 just to spite everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it mainly was. Because, see, I can understand the game getting Game of the Award. I think we are a Game of the Year award. But when it comes to giving it seven different awards, giving it the best sound design, giving it the best soundtrack, giving it so much stuff, I said to myself, okay, I see what this is now. You know, this is really just them patting each other on the back, having little circle jerks saying, hey, you know, screw you guys, screw you forever saying that you never buy this game. And we're going to sell this. We're going to try to sell as many copies as this we possibly can. Because they're hoping that giving it the Game of the War stamp will push more sales.
And it might have pushed a couple more sales, but I mean, I don't see it pushing sales.
I got deep off into this, bro. I looked up some stuff. Apparently, they haven't even made profit yet. Apparently, they have not even... They've made a little, but they have not made back enough to actually, like, pay for the development costs. Some dude, like, typed up this entire, like, long freaking manifesto of stuff. But you remember when they were talking about shipping out 4 million?
Yep.
You know how we haven't heard nothing since then?
Right.
Because, I mean, let's be real. Game journalists are all backing this game, technically. So we would have heard, it's pushed 6 million. It's pushed 7 million. It ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Like, the majority of the sales that it pulled out were actually retail sales. They do the same thing in comics. It's like whenever they have a... Whenever they'll talk about, like, selling the game, we're not talking about player count. We're not talking about people who actually, like, buy the game from the retailer itself. They're saying that they've sold over 4 million to the retailers. That's why you see so many pictures and memes and stuff of people having, like, stocks. Just stocks and shelves full of Last of Us 2. People trying to, like, sell the game at a discount. You remember that game was discounted, what, like a month after it came out on the PC?
It's still discounted right now for, like, $30.
Yeah, that's bad. That game's had more discounts than I've seen any other game before in the history of gaming, which is pretty bad. I don't even think Fallout 76 had that many problems.
No, Fallout 76 is bottom par with it. I'm not going to lie. They made Fallout 76 free.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Hey, Last of Us 2 ain't free yet. It might be.
Oh, man. Yeah, and see, I guarantee that's what this whole thing was. It was mainly to sell the game. They wanted to make the game a little bit more accessible by saying, hey, because you know, people who don't know that much about games, they'll just go out and buy whatever looks to be the most popular thing. Put the Game of the War stamp on there. Hopefully that'll boost sales up, but I don't know what to tell them on that. Like, I think
you already know some people got it as a Christmas present, and they're just gonna wake up and be disappointed.
Boy, they gonna throw that. They gonna throw that game. I know what this is. I've seen people play it because I mean, real talk. At the end of the day, I get it. You know, I told you they put out that Abby-based trailer, right? Where it's just all a trailer, right, just showing nothing but Abby. They're trying to build up because they're probably hoping that they can recreate what they did with The Last of Us 1. Which is maybe, you know, drop the game the first time, get it the Game of the Year, and then get it the remaster, and then hey, hopefully they can get a lot of the, you know, recuperate some of the sales loss with the remastered version of it. You know, put it on PlayStation 5. I guarantee that's what they plan on doing. But see,
it's already backwards compatible.
Yeah, that's. But you know they'll do it though, because I guarantee, I don't know why they should, because I thought it was dominated for the first Last of Us game, but I think it's just one of those things that they hope, like, the marketing will help it.
Now, I'm kind of...
The first game didn't need it.
I'm kind of glad they did it with the first game, though. You know, I did play it on the PS3, but it felt better on the PS4 to me.
I wouldn't know. like I said, because to me, I didn't think it was that much of a difference, but I think what it was is, like, the 60 frames per second, it moved better, I guess. It was more smoother.
Right, it was. It really was.
Yeah.
Not only that, you could experience it with the HDR and the 4K and all that, and it made the game beautiful. It played better, but like you said, it didn't really need it. But I'm glad they did it now. Last of Us 2, they just need to take it, all the data, put it in one computer and set it on fire.
They need to move on. Like, I don't know what else they're going to do. I told you, they need to hit up Bruce Straley. They need to hit up Amy Henning. And they need to just let, I guess, Neil do whatever the hell he's going to do. Because, see, I guarantee what's probably going to happen. Now, I think the main reason why a lot of journalists are okay with Neil and just letting things slide by is because Neil, he is their way in Hollywood. I mean, like, not like, just stick with me. He has the Uncharted movie that's coming out. You know, Tom Holland, yada yada. And he has the Last of Us TV series that will be tied to HBO. And it's funny because, you know, the girl that helps him write, that supposedly helped him write this game, is already tied to HBO. She's written Westworld and a few other HBO shows.
Right. I mean,
yeah. And you have to think, a lot of these people, these journalists, in most cases, they're usually writing something bad about gaming or about how gamers suck or how they're sexist or this and that. And how a lot of them, if you ever notice, these people don't particularly give a damn about gaming, really. These are people who probably wanted to be in film. They probably want to review films. They probably want to write screenplays and this and that. And see, Neil Druckmann is their way into Hollywood. Because see, right. Once he bridges that gap, once he makes TV shows, once he makes movies, they can all start writing about those things. And once they start writing about those things, that can push their, you know, careers off into what they really want to do.
Right.
And I would even say it's the same thing for Neil Druckmann, because see, I don't know what else he's going to do as a game developer. I mean, well, not as a game developer, but as a game writer or as a director. I guarantee he already probably knows he crafted a bad vibe with this one. He's probably thinking, well, just move on to go to movies. That'll be the best thing to do. Because I mean, you had to ask yourself, like, why else would they all just be 100% biased with this guy? He's the meal ticket.
All right.
I mean, at least that's my theory about it. I mean, so considering how everything worked out, you have to really think to yourself, it's not rigged, this is just how it is. You know, when you have a bunch of journalists who kind of spitefully dislike the gaming industry, you already knew what it was going to be from the jump. It was always going to be like this. So I had to say that's pretty much my closing argument on that. Ain't no point right. getting mad about it. I mean, these people don't really care about video games in that sort of way. And these people aren't really for gamers. Now, there were a few detractors that came out. I think Forbes wrote an article saying pretty much the same thing what I just said, which is basically, hey, you already knew that this was going to work out like this. I don't particularly think that they should have won Game of the Year. And I think even Kotaku, surprisingly enough, came out and said something about how they didn't deserve to get director because of crunch. That was the only two detractors I found. I say, I wonder if anybody else is going to come out and say anything against it, too.
Probably not. Honestly, they're probably not. Because like I said, I guess it's been a little over 1 week since the Game Show Awards, and
yeah,
people had just stopped. Now, what gets me is not only did they win, you know, Game of the Year, Game Direction, Narrative, Audio Design, they also got Performance for Abby.
I'll give her that. Like, it's not the actress's fault, really.
I like her voice actor. Her voice actor is a really known voice actor. Her name is Laura Bailey. She does a lot of great, like, performances in games. I think she is Kasumi from Persona 5 Royal. Don't hold me to that. I think she is. And I love that character. And I love everything just about she does, except for the last of those two.
We hate you, Lord. No, I'm playing. Yeah, because, well, I mean, like, from what I've actually seen of her performance in the game, it's like, I just don't like the character. Like, the character is just a walking, talking contradiction. But I guess I would say that she was okay performing it. But, I mean, her whole thing was, I'm mad.
Now, if they're basing this off of, like, the action, The Last of Us 2, the combat was downright dirty and violent, and I loved every moment of that. But for an adventure game, I don't see it. Should have gone to Ghost of Tsushima or Assassin's Creed or Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Like, one of those should have got it.
Yeah, and see, dang, that's even back. I didn't even know those were nominated, but you already knew if it was going to be Ghost of Tsushima versus Last of Us 2 in any nomination, they were not going to give it to Ghost of Tsushima. And it's because it is a culture war aspect.
Or the one that I really honestly think that deserves this is it's a 2D side scrolling game. That's Ori and the Will of the Wisps. They honestly should have got it because a lot of people, no matter what console they play on, they love Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Any of the Ori games at all, they love them because they're a warm, heartfelt game to play. And they always get such great reviews.
Yeah. But once again, it's not popular. Not totally popular. Not everybody knows about it. I think that's probably why they wouldn't even give it to that. But like, I think it would have probably been what you said. Like, I would say it should have been either Jedi or it should have been Ghost of Tsushima. But see, yeah, so for it to get an adventure game, that doesn't even make any damn sense. Like, I was seeing memes where people were just saying that it was swiping up everything and it was hilarious as hell. They're like, a game of war goes to Last of Us 2, sound design, Last of Us 2, rhythm game, Last of Us 2. I was like, hold up, bro. But I mean, it's kind of like how it was, though, because I mean, to give an adventure that doesn't make any sense. The game is not an adventure game. Like, no.
No, it's not an adventure game. You did not, I mean, yeah, you go on adventure to seek out revenge for Joel's death. But yeah, at the same time, it's not like compared to Assassin's Creed or Ghost of Tsushima where it's a big open world and you can have any kind of adventure you want. No, it's not like that.
It is damn near like a linear narrative driven game. That's what it is. They're open segments, but for the most part, that's not an adventure game. You can't count.
Oh, yeah. The last award they did win was the innovation and accessibility.
Yeah, all right. I'll give it that. I will give it the accessibility, and I may give Laura Bailey her credit. But that's it. Because, see, they were the only game that went out their way to make it accessible the way they did.
But no. It beat out Grounded, which is a Microsoft Studio-owned game, but that game has so much, you know, so much more than what The Last of Us Part II had. And not only Watch Dogs Legion. That has been a game that has been on most people's playlist, and it had to go against that. And that has about as much as Grounded did. Okay. Now I see it beating Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I don't even know what the hell Hyperdot is.
It's a really big game, and a lot of people like, I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of Hyperdog, but going against Grounded and the Watch Dogs Legions, I don't see that. Because, well, then again, like we said, journalists, but people who have played, streamed Watch Dogs and Grounded, they all loved it. And Grounded is more of a, you know, you have to eat, you have to do this, and you have to build this, you have to do that, you have to forge this, you have to do this, and
accessibility. I mean, did they go out of their way to make sure that people with disabilities could play it? Like, that's the question. Because I remember even when even the people that hated the game were saying that at least it had that. Because they did all this. They even did it for people who, I don't know, for people that were, I guess, blind. I don't know. Yes. I think it was like a list of different crap.
Yes, it had that. Not only that, since it is a Microsoft-owned fucking game, Microsoft has their own special controller for people with special abilities, with special needs and stuff. They had that own controller. Does PlayStation have their own controller? No. And if you get, you know, Watch Dogs Legions, Assassin's Creed, Grounded, anything that is on the Xbox, you can play on the Xbox, you can use that controller for.
Well, yeah. Just the controller alone would pretty much give it to them. But like you said, journalists, that's what it is across the board. Like I said, that's just how it is. They were not going to let this game get anything.
Now, what blows my mind is Last of Us Part II won the action adventure game, but did not win the was not even nominated for an action game.
Well, Doom should have got that. That's a Doom. That's action is all the way through. Like, I don't know why.
Hades got it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Hades got it. But I'm just saying, That's weird, but...
Yeah, but see, pretty much that game was nominated for just about everything. For just about everything. And I guarantee you the only reason why they didn't give it everything was just to, you know, come across as though they weren't that biased. But literally, this entire Game Awards was basically the Last of Us Game Awards.
It's the president with family game.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you notice, when Neil won, the more so that he won, the less surprised he looked. And he just kind of started doing this thing where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm humble and I'm cool. And, you know, hey, guys, we're all going to have fun after. You know, he just started doing that. He knew he won. He knew he was going to win from the jump. And I think they had showed, they gave a screen clip of, like, who actually controls the awards. And they said 90 or 95% of it is actually based upon, you know, these people. 10% of it is based upon gamers. So there's your answer.
All right. Anyway, it was a big mess. It was a big debacle, and it shouldn't have gone down like that. But you know, we can't help it.
No, because it's like I explained to you over the a text conversation. I said this is just like the Oscars. This is just like the Grammys. You know, there are just going to be certain people who are going to get stuff just because they know people or, you know, for whatever reasons. At the end of the day, but that's why I've long stopped watching Game Awards. I think the last one I actually watched was probably like G4ia. We talking like 2005 or something like that. Or actually, no, I think the last one I saw was probably like the one, well, the Walking Dead one. And that was probably like 2012. Yeah, but since then, I just, it is what it is. So I'm not gonna say that it was rigged, but it was definitely set up that he was always going to win. And at this point, I'm not too sure if it will save the game. I don't think it's gonna give them any more sales. They can make a remaster if they want to. I guess they got enough Uncharted money to do it, but at this point, I think it's a wrap. So whatever Naughty Dog does at this point, talking about Neil, as long as Neil Druckmann is involved, I don't know how gamers are going to feel about that.
Yeah, now let's talk about some of the games that was announced. Of course, I said Back 4 Blood was revealed, which is the creators of Left 4 Dead, Turtle Rock, fully revealed the Back 4 Blood, which is a first-person zombie shooter with co-op. It's launching in June 2021.
Okay, so, yeah, because I remember people saying that like they were hoping for another, a Left 4 Dead game, or Left 4 Dead 3. And I think the second one just got some sort of like update to it. But I guess it's the spiritual successor. This is as close as it's going to get. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be good.
Right,
well, because, I mean, when you really think about it, like, Left 4 Dead in this gaming world now, like, how would it actually do? How well do you think it would do? I mean, it's kind of old. It's kind of dated.
Left 4 Dead right now? Nah. It'll do really well. Considering that they still have World War Z, which is a Left 4 Dead ripoff, Left 4 Dead would outsell that because people want more Left 4 Dead, because it was one of the most sought-out games for backwards compatible on the Xbox One, that when they made it, it sold more than what it did. Now, you can't even find it on the Xbox One anymore.
God dang, I guess people was serious about it then. Why? This could actually blow up then. But I mean, like, what are we talking about, though? Is it going to be like an online-only type of a game, or is it going to be like the original?
I don't know. They didn't give any kind of stuff on that.
Because see, that's where they can screw up at. Like, hopefully, they keep it just the way that the original one was. I would say maybe add a little bit more plot to it. But other than that, yeah. Like, if people still want it, it can blow up.
Now, I know you're going to lie. EA does something with Hazelight, who did A Way Out.
Yeah, they got those dudes getting out of jail.
Yeah, you know that co-op game where you can do it split screen. I think I was only online. But And they came out with a game called It Takes Two. It is a action-packed trailer filled with adorable split-screen two-player co-op. And, oh my god, if you have not seen the trailer for this, I recommend you looking it up. This is a game you want to sit down with your wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, your significant other, and you want to play this game because it oh my god, like, I was sitting there giggling and excited over this game because how good and funny
like
it
little looks. School girl.
Right,
like a little anime.
It has that action. It has like that old school platforming. It has that where you got to dodge these traps and get over here, over to there. Looks fun. It looks really fun. And I was just like, man, that's what we need right now.
Yeah. I mean, because I think overall people are kind of tired of getting a multiplayer game and then finding out it's online only with a bunch of microtransactions. People want to go back to the just good old split screen days. I mean, especially considering, you know, the whole pandemic crap. So people can actually like sit down, let's say if you got siblings or whatever, you can play a good old fashioned split screen co-op game, man. Like that's what we really do need nowadays. Right. That couch co-op.
Right. And it just that looked really good. They announced Monster Hunter Rise for the Switch. Among Us gets a new map, and everybody's excited about that. Fortnite is, of course, mastering everybody's favorite character by putting it in their game. Because if you play Fortnite on the PlayStation 4, you get to play as Kratos.
I hate that game.
And if you have it, if you play on the Xbox, you get to play as Master fucking Chief.
Yep. I suppose so.
They're masquerading. Dude, not only that, they also announced that Michonne and Daryl from The Walking Dead is going to it.
Why not? I mean, like, the biggest thing that Fortnite has is that it's basically culture the video game. That's what it is. It's internet culture. I wouldn't even really say internet culture, but it's like pop culture the video game. You remember when Avengers came out and Thanos is in it? When John Wick came out and they put John Wick in it. So, yeah, I mean, if you like that sort of game, enjoy.
All right. They announced a new Oddworld game, which is exciting because I haven't played Oddworld in a long time.
Boy, since. Like, what was the latest biggest one?
I didn't even play that one. Let's just put it out. Yeah, I didn't even play that one. Let's put it like that. It's been a while since I played Oddworld.
Oh, you played the OG one, and you played the one that was, like, for the PC?
Yep.
Yeah, and this is pretty much just like that. Yeah, so that'll be something to come back.
They are doing Ghosts and Goblins remastered for the Nintendo Switch. Okay. Oh, Lord. And we all know that game is ridiculously stupid.
I don't know why they brought that back.
Okay. So, a couple of little games are coming out. There's a new Near Replicant game, which is supposed to be the first game remastered, but in a different kind of style. If I understand what it's about, I could be totally wrong. But it's built like Nier Automata, and people are excited for it. I know I am.
Yeah, I still haven't played that one. But I remember, because I know like Nier is kind of like a part of the Dragon Guard franchise.
Yeah.
And like the first Nier was on the Wii, I think. It was about like some dude and his daughter. And I remember Nier Automata was...
It might have been on the Wii, but I also know it was on the PlayStation 3.
Okay. And the
Xbox 360. Okay. We got a new look at Dragon Age 4.
Yay.
There we go, BioWare. There we go.
I mean, yeah, BioWare, this is what you did to your fan base. Everyone's just...
We also got to see Vin Diesel at the Game Show Awards in a video game.
Yeah, Art 2.
Yeah, Art 2, and I was just like, oh, gay as fuck. I don't like Art, okay? I'll put it out there.
I don't think anybody really cares about Art, bro.
I don't like Art. If you like Art, congratulations. They did show they had an animated series of Art coming out, and I was like, I'd watch that. But as far as me playing Art, nah.
They're really trying to push Art.
Square Enix announced Outriders, which is Square Enix and People Can Fly teamed up together. Remember that one game People Can Fly did?
I remember like the developers, but I don't remember the game.
Bulletproof or whatever the name of the game was.
No.
It was made, you know, People Can Fly took some people from Gears of War from that studio.
Oh, hold up. You talking about Bulletstorm. That was a cold game. Yeah.
It's still, they're coming out with this game called Outriders, which is set in a desperate sci-fi universe. It looks really great. It kind of looks like it's like Anthem mixed with Destiny and all that mixed together.
Oh, God. Well, hopefully they do right.
I don't know, man. Square Enix is good about some games, they do, and some games, no.
Hopefully after the whole Marvel Avengers game screw up, maybe they'll leave microtransactions alone for a little bit.
And like I said, they did announce it's called Evil Dead the Game.
Back to the Dragon Age thing, like, what'd you think about the trailer?
I mean, I didn't really get through Inquisition at all because I kind of got bored with it.
Yep.
So hopefully this one can, like, keep me entertained more than what it is. I played a lot of online on the Inquisition with other people, and that was about it.
Yeah. Would you say that they desperately need to get back to the plot of the original game and just finish it off?
Oh yeah. And they, in the trailer, they did kind of touch on that.
They show the warden?
I don't remember if they showed the warden or not. I have to rewatch it. It's been over a week.
Because they didn't show the warden. Because I think that one of Bioware's biggest problems, because I'm not even too sure the original team even works there anymore, but I think the issue is that they don't know how to stick to a plot. They can't make a trilogy to save their lives. They came close with Mass Effect 3. I mean, with the whole entire Mass Effect franchise.
Man, I believe they just wanted to kill off Mass Effect at that point. They're like, we had enough of this. We'll give this little special ending if you do everything right, but we'll never make a game on it because we're BioWare. EA owns us.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think what if they could just close off Dragon Age, give us the Warden back, bring back the Warden's son since you made him canon, and just give us a good campaign, we'll be good. But like, I think their problem is that they try to do what Eastern developers do. You know how they do with like a Final Fantasy or how they do with some other game, where they try to take the name and they try to make that the franchise in of itself while giving us different characters every single time, which doesn't work. Dragon Age 2 pissed a lot of people off because you had a completely different character and it was at a weird time setting. Like, it took place between the first game and the ending of the first game or something. And I think with Inquisition, I think it takes place after 2, but you're playing as the Inquisitor. You see what I'm saying? It's like they can't stick to one character, to one plot. It always ends up going out and doing different crap. And like I said, you're not Final Fantasy. You know, unless you're going to make a completely different game with the tagline Dragon Age, then don't even try to do it.
Right. You know? And hopefully, for the new Mass Effect, once that's we're on the subject of BioWare, hopefully Liara does come back and have some kind of role because she is the one who is talking in the trailer.
They show her face. That's what I mean. If they can do right by that game, just give us, I don't want to say a trilogy because something tells me they're going to mess it up. I would say just give us one last game, bring back Shepard. I don't want to say bring back. Maybe bring back the Reapers. No, they should be dead. Screw them. Bring back some other old Eldric godlike being killing.
Just throw in Cthulhu and get it over with, all right?
Yeah, and then call it a day. Like, I would say bring in Leviathans. You know what the Reapers were supposedly based upon.
Right.
Because that's what they were. Screw the. I want to shoot the little Star Child. Just give me a chance to actually do that. And yeah, just end it. Because they're not good with longevity. I think their best bet would be to maybe create a Jade Empire 2. You know, because see, if they want to do this thing where it's like different characters, different world. I think a lot of people be waiting on that. And you could do different world, different characters with a Jade Empire too. Maybe bring some cameos from the original characters, but I think a lot more people be more interested in that than freaking Dragon Age, wherever that's going.
Right. And there's also two other little games that did catch my interest out of this whole entire debacle of the thing that was announcements was the Callisto Protocol, which was from the creator of Dead Space, Glenn. He has this new sci-fi horror game coming out. Okay. And it looked good too, bro. I was like, what?
Hold up. Give me the name of it. What was the name again?
The Callisto, Callisto Protocol. I'll text it to you.
Okay. I just got it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You can see, I remember like how so many people were like hurt by what happened to Dead Space. I know I was. Good old EA. Good old EA. Picking them up and dropping them. So, I mean, maybe, yeah, this guy, he can possibly like take that and just do something new with it. And see, I would say that for any developer or any, for any developer that gets from out under a crappy publisher, you know, just continue on the game, but just in a different way.
And like I said earlier, you know, one of the biggest games I've been looking forward to since they announced it was been Scarlet Nexus, and that's coming out in summer of 2021. That's about all what really the Game Show Awards had for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that, because we're going to hour into this. We are hour 2 minutes and 16 seconds in.
But since we are using a new way of doing this, we can go as long as we need now.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Yeah. But I'll just edit. Right. Yeah, so, plus, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, for the next podcast, we are going to be touching on CD Projekt Red's biggest failure yet, and that is Cyberpunk 2077. My fucking God. Like, I've tried to stay away from this game and not watch videos because I kind of want to play this game. But but after seeing everything, and I'm just like, oh, God. Why?
I'm telling you, they were probably, I don't even know if you can classify them as a Western developer, but I guess they kind of make Western developer type games, so they were the last one. they were the last bastion for what a developer should be, and that was it. We have nothing else. It's just Japanese games all the way. That's it. Because, I mean, just the... We'll get off into it, but I mean, just from everything that I've heard, it's a crap storm, bro. Now, I have a few friends of mine that have it, and they said it's not that bad, and they're playing it on base PS4s and Xboxes, but a lot of other people are having problems.
Yeah, I know somebody who's playing it, and he hasn't had any kind of... He said sometimes the textures doesn't load in straight away, and it takes it a minute, but he said, but besides that, the glitches and stuff, he hasn't hardly seen any kind of glitches or any kind of bugs or anything like that. But some people are experiencing that. And my luck, I know I would get it.
Boy, your damn Xbox will blow up.
do you not remember when I first got Assassin's Creed on my PlayStation 3 and what it did to my PlayStation 3?
Bro, all yourself was like, your PlayStation 4 would set on fire. Your Xbox would blow up. Your TV would blow up, like everything. You're bad with this. Yeah, but yeah, that'll be the next subject for sure. And it's hot. Like, people are upset. But it makes me wonder. Like, I'm really wondering. Do you think people are just overdoing it? You think it could be like a Mass Effect Andromeda situation where the memes are just worse than what they are, or are people just really having this bad of an issue? I think it's somewhere in between.
I think it's a mix of the two. Honestly, I do. I think some people who are really experiencing this is out there trying to tell their experiences for other people, and then some people are just memeing it and blowing it way out of proportion. What it is. It's gotten so bad that even CD Projekt Red has been like, look, if you don't want the game, ask for a damn refund. We're sorry. We built this on a high-end fucking PC. And then it's gotten so bad that even PlayStation and Microsoft have pulled it off their online stores.
Yeah, yeah. And see, like, we'll get off into a little bit more about that, but that is that's crappy. And see, from my opinion, I think the reason why they did that is because they said they wanted the refund. Like, I think it's because CD Projekt Red came out without their permission and stated that they'll give everybody a refund. Because, I mean, think about it. They didn't do that crap for Fallout 76, which was having just as many problems. They didn't do that for No Man's Sky, which was having just as many problems.
Well, CD Projekt Red came out and stated and said, if you want a refund, seek a refund from whoever you bought it from. So, I mean, when we get off into this, I'll honestly give my personal feelings on this. And, but to me, that's kind of shitty on how they're handling this whole entire process.
It's a lot of finger pointing. Because, see, I can understand. I guess if you're Sony, even if you're Microsoft, you probably feel like, well, why did you release the game? Or why did you tell us that the game was good to go when you knew that the game wasn't?
I mean, if you really want to point fingers, you have to point it at Microsoft and CD Projekt Red. Because Microsoft has been backing and backing and backing this project up since it was announced. You remember when 2 years ago, we watched Keanu Reeves come out on stage and tell us about it.
You're beautiful.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. If you got a PC and you got one of the new graphics cards, you know, one of the 370s, 380s, or 390s, you'll be fine. But, I mean, if you have one of the older dated ones like a 1050 or a 750 or like my PC has a 1660 Ti in it, then, I mean, yeah, you might have some complicated issues trying to hit that 4K, 1440 mark, but you can still play on 1080.
And if you have a base PS4 or a base Xbox One, yo, shit. it ain't, yo, your game is going to crash, like, a lot, supposedly.
Right. Is our good buddy Shano playing this? Is he playing it, or did he stick with Assassin's Creed?
Man, no, he. I don't think he got that deep off into this. I think he's still on Assassin's Creed. Will probably be on Assassin's Creed for the rest of his life, considering how long that damn game is.
Good.
I mean, good. If you like it, man. But, like, I already know how the game ends. Apparently, they bring Desmond back in some sort of way, and I'm just like, whatever.
Nobody. I mean, hey, that's spoiler alert if that's true, but I know he was asking me a question. Should he change his pre-order over to Cyberpunk 2077? I told him, I wouldn't do that. I would have just stuck over to Assassin's Creed, so I didn't know, because I haven't checked in with him in a while.
Yeah, don't do that. You want a game that works, bro. At least your game works.
What's so bad that even on the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, it's still bugging and crashes, from my understanding.
Yeah, I would say gamers are at fault too, impatient gamers, because you know they were giving them death threats after they delayed the game again. But see, I would say a lot of blame is to go around, because you shouldn't have been marketing this game that damn much if you knew it wasn't ready. You shouldn't have been getting people's hopes up if you knew it was not ready. Because, see, that's the thing that's pissing. That's what caused the death threats. People got upset. You know, you've been talking about this game since 2013. Like, that is a while back, bro. That's, like, back when people were still playing PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360s. People been waiting for this literally since, you know, since the gen before last.
I mean, people have been honestly waiting on this since the birth of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah. And so, and it's like, you would have thought that they would have optimized this for these systems, for these consoles, but they didn't. They went over it, which, I mean, is good in a way. I mean, it's great that you made a technical, you know, I guess, achievement like that, but, bro, you know damn well these consoles ain't got it like that. They just don't. Like, this is a PC game. It just is.
Like, but anyway, we will touch more on this probably after the new year. Because I think this will be the last podcast we do for this year. And just a quick thank you to everybody who's ever listened to me and Mr. Alex over here talk nonsense about everything. Because that's what we do.
Just like most podcasts.
Right. We are over 250 listens at the moment. And we started this back in, I started this podcast back in June.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the podcast has come a long, long way. And I think it's doing really well, in my opinion. I don't know about compared to like other people with podcasts, like our friend Shane. I don't know what it's compared to his is like, because he doesn't talk about stuff we talk about. He's more, he wants to talk about what's happening in America and the political things and rants and stuff like that.
Which are good in their own way, but it's, I think when it comes to like, you could say this is more of a niche. What we talk about is more of a niche, but I think a lot more people fall towards gaming, and we bleed off into politics every now and then, but like when me and James, you know, started this, we kind of wanted to say that we didn't want to be a part of that, which is why we bit Sam's head off during the Last of Us 2 podcast the way that we did.
Ooh, man. Yo, bro. I kind of got on to him.
Yeah. No, because like, when we at first did, I was like, it ain't like that. And you were like, yeah, it's not. It's not like that, Sam. I was like, whoa. After that, I was like, oh, damn. And then when we found out about the game, I was like, oh, shoot, it kind of is like that. But you know what? We don't want to be that. We don't want to be that extremely political about stuff. Like, we roll with this episode because, I mean, it's just a fact. Like, the dude kind of did sway towards certain people in order to get a base of people that he wanted to, you know, shield for his product. That's what he really did. Like, at the end of the day, I kind of feel like he doesn't even care about those things the way that he claims that he does. But anyway, that's not what we're really here for. Like, we'll get political if we have to, but too many people do it, you know. And
I just want to sit back and talk about the things I enjoy, and I really don't want to get into that whole entire political bullshit, because that's just that's not something I really enjoy.
Can't nobody have fun with it, bro. Like, we'll put this out, and then either we'll be like classified as being Nazis, or we'll be classified as being SJWs. Like, that's what's going to happen. It won't be anywhere in the middle, bro. Somebody will always pull it apart. Be like, oh, okay. I'm like, nah, man. We just here for the games. But even though we are here for the games and for, like, more nerd stuff, we will go off into it if we need to.
Oh, like, man. Some games, they do touch on politics stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Specifically The Last of Us 2, really.
So, just, I mean, we might have to dip off into that, but we don't like to dip off into that.
Yeah.
I know, like, Persona 5 Royal, it's a big, like, Persona 5 in itself towards the end of it, it gets really political about into the game.
Yeah, but, like, what type of political, though? Because, I mean, politics in of itself isn't bad, but, I mean, if you want to talk about, like, culture war politics.
No. Like, this gets into, like, corrupt politicians, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's been a thing since Gundam. since before Gundam. I mean, like, every series touches on weird, corrupted politics. Now, and I guess it's kind of like one of the reasons why we tend to stray away from it, because it's like you can't talk about it now without people throwing American politics into it. And it's like, yo, listen, politics is just everywhere, you know. It's in everything. Just because we aren't sitting up here talking about Biden and Trump and the far left and the far right does not mean that we aren't talking about politics. But it's like, let's be real, that shit's stupid.
people
aren't mature enough to actually talk about it, so it's just like, yeah, whatever.
Right, and plus, you know, we do our civil duties, and that's about as far as we care about politics.
Yeah.
You know, if whoever gets in the office, maybe, you know, we'll just have to ride out 4 years of it and see how it goes. And that's about how I feel of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, we're here for games, nerd culture. That's pretty much it.
Right. I mean, video games, music, anime, movies, stuff like that we talk, we enjoy to talk about. So that's why I believe a lot of our listeners continue to constantly listen to us.
Yeah, even though we have some crazy takes sometimes. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize for any bad thing I said. No, really, I apologize. I'll apologize for nothing.
But anyway, we're going to wind this on down. Recap, the Game Show Awards was not rigged at all in a sense of how you think it was. But
yeah, no, nobody bought anything. It was already set up.
Right. Check out all the upcoming games that I've talked about along with Alex here, and you'll find, hopefully you find one you like. I haven't been streaming, and I don't think I'm going to stream for a while now because on a subject of next year, after the Cyberpunk podcast, we're going to talk about Twitch and the DCMA and all of that stuff on this podcast because that is something that's going to end up affecting all of us.
Can't say simp. You crazy as hell.
Yeah, you can't say simp. You can't listen to any kind of music while you stream either. Like,
oh, no, no. You can listen to it if you're a type of person that Twitch seems to placate to. You can do it.
Like even if you create your own music on stream. Nah, bro. Can't do that. Nah.
I don't know, man. Maybe we just need to find like a hot chick, or maybe I need to be a Twitch star. I think I can do it. I think I can do it, bro. We can play as much music as we want, then, man. I'll just have myself.
bro, you can't, man. I don't understand it. Like, oh god, like. But I mean, the only other competitive streaming service is Facebook now because they closed down. Mixer. Yeah, it was Mixer.
Ooh. Oh, well, Ninja.
Ninja went straight back to Twitch. So did Shroud.
Dang. I guess at least they tried. But yeah, I mean, they got a monopoly on everything, so I guess it is the way that it is right now. It's just somebody builds a better site.
Oh, yeah. Also, shout out to one of my favorite content creators. She did win Content Creator of the Year, and that was Valkyrie. Quick shout out to her because I do enjoy her content on Twitch and on YouTube. Hey. But anyway, thank y'all so much for listening to this podcast and hanging out with the Hideout. As usual, we will be back within every other week. We'll be doing this and we'll be talking about Cyberpunk 2077. And if there's any kind of like breaking things, we might get together and consume on it. Be on the lookout in the future. We are going to start trying to do some YouTube videos of the podcast and us just summarizing stuff and talking about it. And hopefully me and him, we can get together and start maybe doing a little bit more streaming process, especially Kingdom Hearts 3, since we were doing that at one point on Critical Mode.
No, I'm playing it on Critical Mode, like, currently. Yeah, that will take us forever. we'll just tell everybody that we did it. I'll record while I'm on my PlayStation 4 and show it. I mean, it ain't that bad, but man,
it's that bad.
Yeah, it's yeah. You know the wolf frozen, Gorilla Run.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Not only that, you know, what other kind of games we can get into that catches our attention we might stream. I've been here trying recently to get Alex into playing Persona 5. Yet he doesn't want to.
Not right now.
I do.
I still got Tales of Vesperia to play.
I do have a physical copy for you to play now.
Where'd you get it from?
I picked it up at GameStop. It says Steelbook Edition for $30.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I totally jumped on that because I don't have anything like Persona 5 related that is like merch-wise. So I was like, yeah, I kind of want to pick up that Steelbook because Persona 5 has been it's in my top 5 games of all time so far.
Oh, yeah, I had to say that there were no disappointments with that. From what right. I've been hearing, everybody was talking about that was
right, awesome. Right. And I really want you to play it so me, you can sit down and talk about it. And since Strikers is coming out, I really want to get us streaming that on the PlayStation. I want to get streaming that, playing it. So
I can't say the word simp?
Nope.
I'm just going
to... Hold on. We can stream to YouTube. We can't stream to Twitch. How about that?
Okay, yeah. That's what we're going to do that. Not that I actually use the word simp a lot. Like, it's not a word that I wouldn't say it unless I actually meant it, so...
I mean, I honestly didn't know what the word "sent" mean until the meaning of it was until I asked this fucking 12-year-old friend of ours from Pennsylvania. They came down and I asked him, I was like, "What does "sent" mean?" And he told me the definition. I was like, "How's a fucking 12-year-old know what's that? Like, what's with the young language now? Like, their terms and terminology."
Hey, we just back in our day, we just cursed.
That's what I'm saying. If
12, 11 years old, you're just like, yo, if you're a dude that's begging for pussy, you're a pussy beggar. That's all that you are. That was it. We would just say it straight up. Nowadays, people got like 50 million different terms for everything. I'm like, whatever, dude.
Like, I don't understand like the terminology anymore. Just come out and say what you want.
You out here trapping for them thoughts. That's what you're doing. You out here begging money for these hoes. That's what it is. Or I guess like because the place I first heard it from was like I think like certain YouTube videos, but you know I think the Call of Duty crowd took it and they ended up saying it all the time in the lobbies or something, or I think Fortnite people took it and stuff. But essentially what it is just it's a dude that goes above and beyond for a woman that does not love him, essentially.
Right. See, the first time I heard about it is I was listening to this podcast on Spotify called Rant Cafe, and I'd love for me and you to sit down one day and talk with these people because we'd just get a big ass kick on how they do things and how what they talk about, because they're big anime nerds and they love anime manga, and they have connections to like all the e-girls and VTubers and everything like that. But I was listening to them one day, and one guy named Nux, he came out and he was just like, yeah, all these motherfuckers out here simping for this one girl. And I was like, simping? What's simping? I sat down with Cody, and Cody's like, I don't know what that fucking means. So finally, up comes our friends from Pennsylvania. They brought their kids, and I looked at the kid. I was like, what's simp mean? And he told me, and I was like, oh, Cody's like, why does a fucking 12-year-old know that?
I mean, what exactly did the 12-year-old say, though? Yeah, these hoes.
he says when a guy who wants to have a relationship with a woman who goes over and does more what he should do than any kind of sexual favor for us, what he said.
Wow. Okay, well, that was actually a very good definition from a child.
Right? That's what I said. I was like, what the fuck?
All right, cool. He gave it to me straight up, pretty much. Yeah, but I mean, like, at this point, like, that's not even a... People don't even really use that damn term for real. Like, that's one of those things. It's like, it kind of got used up because, as usual, people took it and started misusing it and taking the definition and stretching it too much. So it's one of those things that really doesn't even have an original meaning to it anymore. Some people just be calling people simps out of nowhere. Now, it's like, you're a simp, bro, because he shot you in Call of Duty. It's like, what is this dude be like? I have a girlfriend, man. Yeah, but you're a simp. All right. I guess so.
I mean, hey, you can still be a simp and have a girlfriend.
He's like, no, bro. I guess that's true. He's like, I handle mine.
But we're getting way off subject on what we were originally to this podcast was supposed to be about. I mean, this is the end of it. So thank y'all so much for hanging out with the Hideout. Like I said, within another week's every other week we'll be back. And like I said, Cyberpunk 2077 is the next one. After that, we will continue to always bring the antics, the craziness, the random rants as you can hear us talk about. So thank y'all so much for listening.
Yep. Have a good one, y'all.